Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com. Did you know that half of America is single? Hollywood has never produced anything like this before. The Dating Project, a groundbreaking documentary that follows five single people, ages 18 to 40, as they search for authentic and meaningful relationships. There is no script. There are no actors. These are real people trying to find love and happiness in an age of swiping left or right. From Empower Pictures, Paulus Productions, Family Theater Productions, and PureFlix, you can now own The Dating Project. Save the date by visiting thedatingprojectmovie.com and go a step further and help others in your circle date differently by partnering with Ascension Press. Visit shop.ascensionpress.com to acquire the companion study guide. The Dating Project Movie is now available on DVD and digital download on Amazon, iTunes, and Walmart. Please visit thedatingprojectmovie.com for details.
Welcome to the John 330 podcast. He must increase, I must decrease, is a message John 330 invites us to live. Incorporating this into our everyday lives can be a challenge. What keeps your fire burning? We have many wonderful ways to stay close to our faith, whether it be the Mass, spiritual readings, prayer, adoration, or the rosary. This is Catholic Faith Life, and here's our host, Jason Nunez.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the John 330 podcast. This is your host, Jason Nunez, and welcome to episode number 62 or 63. Truth be told, I'm starting to lose count. That's very bad on my end. Sorry, but welcome to the episode. I have a very, very special guest today. I want to go ahead and welcome one of my friends. One of my friends I've known for a couple of years now, Miss Cecilia Dominguez. Hey, Cecilia, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for taking time out of your day and joining us for this week's episode.
My pleasure.
Before we get going, we're going to go ahead and begin this episode the way we begin all episodes. That's in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being loved, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being extolled, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being honored, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being praised, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being preferred to others, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being consulted, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being approved, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being despised, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of suffering rebukes, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being calumniated, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being forgotten, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being ridiculed, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being wronged, deliver me, O Jesus.
from the fear of being suspected.
Deliver me, O Jesus, that others may be loved more than I. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be esteemed more than I. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be chosen and I set aside. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be praised and I go unnoticed. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be preferred to me in everything. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Alrighty, Cecilia, go ahead and share with us a little bit about yourself, please.
Bullet points. So I'm married, been married since 2003, have recently given birth to my fourth child, who is about 3.5 months now and growing like a weed. He's 19.8 pounds now. And my biceps are growing every second of the day.
You're getting ripped.
Pretty much. I had to do my exercises to stay flexible or else I'll start getting backaches. So living the life as a Catholic mother and wife, and then have my own business. So I have a Pilates studio, which most people are like, what? What's that?
Right.
It's not pizza. So. It's not pronounced Pilates. Pilates.
So then let me ask you, what is that?
Pilates is a form of exercise that helps one to strengthen the posture muscles. You learn to utilize the muscles of your abdomen, your spine, your gluteal muscles, and your inner thighs. So Joseph Pilates was the man responsible for coming up with this method of exercise in the early 1900s, actually. So it's been around for quite a while, for a century. And he proposed that strengthening these muscles support your spine. Therefore, the back is the birthplace of your flexibility. So if you can get your spine more supple, then that will help in your aging process. So if you're flexible in your spine and you're 70, you really are 20.
Whoa.
But if your spine is tight at 21, then you're 70. So it's how you take care of your spine suppleness and flexibility and strength. So three main words is strength, stretch, and control. And there are different pieces of equipment that go with it and different training that I had to do in order to learn the method. And when I had the opportunity to open my own space, then I took it and was able to get equipment for that. And I've been on my own since 2009.
Wow. To be a business owner and be in business for that long, going on 10 years now, that's quite an accomplishment in itself. Aside from having three children.
Four.
That's right. You have four now. You just said that. Luke, I'm sorry. Luke, when you're older and you hear this, I'm sorry. I forgot about you. But that's right. So being a mother of four, period, is tough. So not only are that, but you're also a business owner that's been in business and operating for going on 9-10 years now.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. I forget how time goes by fast, and then when I start talking about it, I think, wow, man, it hasn't really been that long. Like, whoa, I felt like yesterday.
You were opening up.
I was opening and trying to build my clientele and trying to promote my website and everything. But, yeah, it's been 10 years, almost 10 years.
Awesome. So you're a business owner, your mother, you're a wife. You're Catholic. You've participated before, just from me knowing you. in faith formation activities. You were a previous sponsor for RCIA. Mm-hmm. And I believe that is actually how we met.
Yeah, through, we met through
that process, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So with you being active all day with your responsibilities, how do you manage to keep your fire burning for a Catholic faith with all the different plates you kind of have spinning, if you will? What works for you?
Well, I start my day at least listening to the word, the listening to the readings for the day. And so I'll do that on my way to work. If I don't do that, then my day doesn't feel normal. So if I can listen to the word of God, then that keeps me focused.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. That means that you starting your day, that way, mm-hmm, is very, it means that you're putting God first.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, to make a long story short, yes. Because, you know, I'm not listening to it like before I go to the restroom.
Sure. Oh, right. Right. And I've already achieved one goal of mine. Uh-huh. And that is whenever I see you, I think of your laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a goal of mine to get that Cecilia laugh on the podcast.
So, which is genetic, by the way.
Mission accomplished.
My
really?
Mom laughs very loud. My mom laughs when I remember when I was in youth group in choir growing up. And they met my mom and they heard her laugh and they're like, "Yep, that's your mother." And my sister, I have a sister that's four. She's 13 years older than me, but in her yearbook, all of it was Rosie's. You know, don't lose your laugh. I love to hear you laugh. You know, and so we all laugh, but it's definitely a genetic thing. It's a family trait, I guess. So yeah, but. So I started doing that practice of listening to the Word of God when I got my smartphone, because before I didn't have a smartphone. I had to flip the old flip phones.
Right.
And I kept thinking, man, I really wish I could get a smartphone, because then I could listen to podcasts, I could listen to all that kind of stuff. And then when I got my smartphone, then I was able to look up. At first, I would download the podcast from USCCB.
Right.
And then I would pull it up that way on my app.
And the contents of that podcast was the daily readings, right?
I think it was just USCCB.org, and then you could subscribe to their podcast, mm-hmm, to their readings.
Right.
And then you would get the list of the readings, and you just click on the date. So at that time, my drive was like maybe 20 minutes, because I would drop off. Eliana was in preschool at the time. And so I would drop her off and then I would go to work, and it took me about 20 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I would listen to the readings, and then I would listen to a reflection, meditation, and then I would go to work. So that's how I would, that was my routine.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Now, for those that are listening and maybe wondering, it's been mentioned before, but I don't know if you've ever actually kind of clarified this. So for people that are listening, they may not know who or what the USCCB is. Could you kind of give me just a short, quick kind of explanation of what that group is?
So the USCCB is the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops.
Right.
Is what it stands for. And it is a group of bishops that, if memory serves me correctly, they help to be the authority of the United States on everybody that's Catholic, mm-hmm, to maintain that everybody is teaching in orthodoxy with the Catholic Church here in the United States. And so if you have any issues, any questions about why we're saying a certain state prayer during this time of the year or anything like that, or holy days of obligation here in the United States compared to other parts of the world, then you can always go to that website and look at it. And that's what I've done plenty of times. Like, people will say, "Oh, you're Catholic. Well, they just changed this holy day of obligation to we're not going to celebrate it this year or whatever." And it's like, "Well, no, that's not the point. The point is that
get a day off."
Yeah. you don't have to go to Mass on Wednesday or whatever, because it falls on a Friday or whatever. And right. so I've had that question posed to me before. It's like, why do you Catholics always change things around? But anyways, so you can go to that website and you can look on there and you'll see an explanation. And then also things that maybe the Pope has sent out that gives some explanation on that. And so it's really helpful to look up if you have any questions about what's going on here, at least in the United States.
Definitely a good, reliable resource,
right,
to
exactly.
go to, which is very important.
Yeah, because there's a lot of many crazy websites out there, yeah. And you look and you're like, oh, the Pope is an Antichrist. And you're like, oh, wait, okay, I guess I'm going to switch this one off.
Right. He changed the topic of whatever. Uh-huh. Really? Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, so usccb.org is where you can go. And as you mentioned before, you can kind of subscribe to their readings and their different audio podcasts, if you will, on there that way. So that's definitely a good point to have, especially since we're on a podcast right now, right?
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Awesome. Awesome
stuff. Plug in for them.
Indeed, indeed. Now, so that's a great way to kind of keep your fire burning while you're driving. You know, in the morning, you're dropping your children off to where they need to be before you get your day going.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the meantime, because there's a lot of stuff on the radio that we really shouldn't be having our children hear.
Right.
So to kind of fill that time and that with the message from the USCCB, that's definitely a great and productive way to definitely use that time and to fill the air that way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. Oftentimes, after I listen to that, I'll turn on the radio and I'll think, I don't need to waste my time listening to it. I mean, some of the songs, I mean, unless you listen to the Christian radio music.
Mm-hmm.
But then after a while, you're like, well, I think I'll just have some quiet time before I have to talk to my clients.
There you go. Before it gets loud.
It does. Exactly.
Awesome. And we are back after that brief moment in podcast time, which in reality is much, much longer, Cecilia.
Pretty much.
We are back. Full transparency to everyone listening. We have 8 children here right now.
They're not all ours.
No.
4 are mine.
Right.
2 are Jason's.
Right.
And 2 are a friend of friends.
Yes, yes. And they were all at the pool when we began recording. And within that time, they have come back. They have eaten. And they're now doing whatever it is the little kids do when they're not eating or swimming. So we are back, and we are going to continue with the episode.
Yay.
Special thanks to Whataburger for feeding us today. That is not a sponsored ad. I just want to take a moment to express my love for Whataburger right now. And of course, if you hear kiddos in the background, that's fine. This is a podcast. That's what makes it a podcast. So we are going to continue with the conversation, Cecilia.
Great.
Awesome. So earlier, before the party started, if you will, we were talking about the USCCB and on how that helps you. And
yes.
We were going to get into other ways on how you keep your fire burning for a Catholic faith.
Some other ways?
Right.
Okay. Well, I am constantly being reminded by people of why I'm Catholic, or why do I do what I do, or why I pray, or why I go to church or go to Mass. Because usually people say, well, I go to church on Sundays, but they don't say they go to Mass on Sundays. So that's different.
Mm-hmm.
If I'll say, you know, we went to Mass yesterday, or we went to Mass in the evening, or stuff like that. Something like, if I say that, then they'll be like, oh, you're Catholic. Yes, I am. Oh, well, why? And then that's just an opening door for, why do y'all do this? Oh, and, oh, did you grow up Catholic? Or why do you still go? Or
sure.
So it's just saying the word Catholic is like an open door for attack, if you will, and questions. And so when I get questioned, I always look for the answer. And then that actually fuels my fire. So, like my husband's was baptized Catholic. I'm not sure if he had his first communion, first Eucharist or not, but when we were married, then I realized that I did not know a lot about my faith. And upon going to church with him, I was kind of lukewarm, and so I wouldn't always go to Mass. There was a time when I always went with him, and so when the pastor would preach about certain things, I would think, well, we have that in the church, or we have this, we can do this in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. He's talking about that. Oh, and then I would always start thinking about a sacrament if he started talking about certain things, about forgiveness or whatever. And then I think, okay, well, then I can go to confession for that. You know, he would say things like, well, you got to receive God's grace in your life, or to live more, to live in accord with God's commandments and stuff. Well, God commanded Jesus Christ, I later realized and learned that Jesus Christ established a church, and to live according to Jesus' commandments was living in his accord. He gave us sacraments as in channels of grace. So learning about that and thinking, okay, well, this is how one lives in accord with Jesus Christ, is to be open to his grace. And we have channels, not YouTube channels, but we have sacramental actual channels, mm-hmm. and of that grace, which are, you know, all the seven. So that is what keeps me on fire, is that people are always challenging me on why I'm Catholic and why I choose to be a practicing Catholic.
That's in a way that it helps you learn more, right?
Right.
It helps you learn more about your faith.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because after, I think it was when my second child was, she was two, I think. It was before she started going to preschool. And there was a sermon that the pastors talked about getting, if you want your children to grow up in a Christ home, in a Christian home, then you have to be responsible for that, for doing that. And likewise, now I've heard that, you know, the church, a family's domestic church. And so I thought, you're right. And so to be involved in church and to bring your family to, and have the kids involved as well. So they're real big about pushing the youth and being involved with the youth. And so I thought, you're right. So I thought, well, I'm going to do that in the Catholic Church. So I've started joining a Bible study. And that started me looking into podcasts. So that's when I started learning theologically about the faith. And I started listening to Catholic radio. I had a client of mine who was really involved at St. Matthew's. And she would tell me, I was talking about something. And I think about when we're going to have another child, or what we're going to do after I had Eliana. And she says, you need to learn NFP, Natural Family Planning. Mm-hmm. And I heard about it, but I had heard something about natural family planning because when we do our marriage prep, they talked about that, but right. They don't really go into, you know, it's
detail.
Not, you're not taking a course on it.
Right.
So I said, because then I looked into when I started listening to Catholic radio, she also told me to listen to Catholic radio. She said, you need to listen to Catholic radio. I said, okay, well, what channel? Okay. So she told me the channel, and I started listening to it, and then I started listening to all the reasons why Catholics, the church's stance on contraception. And then I thought, oh, well, if I'm in a fitness environment and trying to maintain health and wellness, then the obvious answer is to do natural family planning, because it's healthy, it's right. green, mm-hmm. and I heard that it's going to help your marriage. Help build communication in your marriage. So, I mean, who's not all for that, right? If you're married, then you always want communication. I mean, you want communication anyway. We all need to help communicate with each other. So I told my husband, okay, we're going to learn a natural family planning. And he said, okay. So I did the whole thing. I looked it up, couple to couple league, and signed up for a class. It was at St. Pius over on Harry Wurzbach. And so it was 4 Sundays in a row. We did that. And then that opened a whole new door because the teachers for that were great Catholic couple, Veronica and Robert Wallace. They, to this day, they have 10 living children and 3 are in heaven. So she's had some miscarriages and they unfortunately had an 18-month-old had passed away shortly after we completed the course. But the great model of what a true Catholic family practicing, you know, their faith in their home, and they're open to life, obviously. And so great. And to this day, when I had the 4th child, they came to visit me in the hospital. So I keep in touch with them.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, so doing the Bible study, learning natural family planning and everything about contraception and what the church teaches on that. Then that was, you know, going into theological aspects of the church, realizing that this is the church that Jesus Christ established, learning about the Eucharist and how, if we really want to be in one with Christ, go get the communion, go to communion. He's one with you. And then learning about natural family planning and learning about the learning about contraception, and then learning from there, being open to life and God's creation. So going on from there. And then I started, when I met you, that's when I was like really on fire and going at it and going, being involved in all kinds of ministries. And then you get kind of burned out after. And I went on Acts retreat. And so then I thought, you know, I probably need to chill out for a little bit, because your first focus is on God.
Right.
Then your spouse, then the children,
then the children.
So I was just realizing, okay, I need to focus my energy on my children. And so I thought, okay, it's nice that I'm involved in the church. I met some great people at church, other people on fire with their faith. But if my children are going to grow up with the same kind of fervor that I'm growing up, that I'm have in, for Christ, then I need to teach them.
Right.
So with that, I shifted gears and took a step back from ministry, from RCA, and started focusing on family, making sure they go to Mass, and then talking with them about the faith, because my older one now is 12. She's going on 13. And then, so knowing the formative years, they're going to start being inquisitive. They have friends at school that don't know about God.
Right.
And their parents don't go to church. If they go to church, they go to a non-denominational church. They know something. They go sometimes to Mass with their grandparents, but they don't go regularly. So I thought, okay, I need to make sure that I stay on top of that, that I'm just not feeding my faith, that I'm going to be feeding and forming their faith. So that's when I started shifting gears. Then I got pregnant again. And so so that was my I had always wanted to try again and maybe have a boy. So then we did. God answered our prayers, we had a boy. And then got pregnant again.
This is number 4 now.
So, but there was a pregnancy before.
No, you're correct. Yep.
Yeah, a pregnancy before. And so we were trying to follow the natural family planning thing, and that didn't quite work out because I got pregnant again because we were trying to space. But then right after that, we got pregnant again. And so now we have Luke. So we have the 2 girls and the 2 boys. So, and now that I'm a little bit older, I think God is shifting my gears again. It's like, okay, so you focused your energy on your family, on your domestic church. Okay, I think you're a little bit older now. So now being 41, and I know people say, oh, you're not that old. Well, when you're just speaking of like fertility, I am. And as I've learned about my health and my and being a woman, being and learning about my fertility and all that stuff. Yes, I am getting older, and according to the medical profession, I'm geriatric pregnant.
Right.
So, this point in my life is probably the ending, the end of my fertility. So now I'm going to focus still on my family, but I think I can start focusing back to the church and to ministry outside of the family, or with my family rather, so we can bring them up in the Catholic faith. So constantly getting questions about things, about being Catholic or what the Pope said, or different things. Like I'm not shy about talking about my faith.
Right.
I'm not shy, period.
Or maybe scared because you don't know what to say. Because
right.
Now you know.
Yeah, now I know. And having great resources and listening to different podcasts, but
right.
Being able to download talks, being able to have great resources and speakers, different priests, Father John Ricardo, and I learned a lot through Dr. Taylor Marshall, who's really
yep.
Dr. Taylor Marshall in Fort Worth.
Not only is he smart, but he's put together.
Like, yeah, really well.
He's like a workout guy too.
Oh, is he? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And he kills his own bison or whatever,
right.
And then he
right.
saves it, and they have 8 kids and blah blah blah.
Yep.
And I took some courses through his institute, Augustine Institute.
Right.
And then I've one thing was really cool. One year I realized that my birthday is January 28th, and that's the same day as Thomas Aquinas.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I told my dad, I was talking to my dad one time, and I said, hey, Dad, did you know that my birthday is, who my saint is on my birthday? He's like, Saint Cecilia? Because my mom named us all after saints, right?
Right.
Good Catholic woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, Dad, that's November 22nd, which ironically is my third child, Isaiah's birthday.
Whoa.
Isaiah is born on my saint's day. So that was a gift.
Indeed.
So anyway, I said, do you know who the saint is on my birthday? He said, no. I said, it's Thomas Aquinas. And he said, oh, really? I said, see, Dad, that's why I'm intellectually smart.
That's got to be it, right? That's got to be it.
And he was like, okay. He was like, okay, Cece, fine. I got you.
That's awesome.
And I said, that's why I'm spiritually intellectual as well.
It was definitely a good omen that you were born on
Thomas Aquinas'
birthday mm-hmm. there.
Because at that time, I was doing the institute. I was taking classes through Dr. Taylor Marshall's thing, and there was a lot of stuff going on here, like the assembly
right.
was going on. I was pregnant with Isaiah at the time, and so the girls, there's five, they're born every 5 years. So 2005, 2010, 2015, and then Luke is born, he's the odd man out, so he's born 2018. So there's enough space for between them for me to go and do some things, you know, and leave them. But anyways, that was cool to be able to get really to dive into all that learning and classes and courses.
You touched on a couple of things there that definitely want to go and speak about. You mentioned NFP, and that's great. What I'll do is in the show description, I'll put a link to some information more about NFP,
mm-hmm.
just because it's something that really does need to be spoken about more. And there's a lot of information out there about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll definitely put a good resource there about NFP on the show description.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, you mentioned podcasts that you hear. What are some podcasts that you can recommend for someone who really wants to learn more about their faith, kind of from a educational standpoint? That way they can defend it. So we're kind of, in a way, we're kind of speaking about apologetics. So who would you recommend to listen to?
Well, I started off by listening to Open Line
mm-hmm.
on Catholic Radio.
Yep.
I started off with John Martinoni, going to his website.
He's great.
I got a shake.
Thank you.
That is?
That is Isaiah.
Isaiah. Before you answer that question, I'm just going to say, Isaiah is one of my most favorite persons in the entire wide world. Give me five, dude. There you go. Perfect. So John Martinoni, right?
John Martinoni was great. And you can go to his website, download any of his talks. He says it all the time on Open Line. Oh, and I actually did... reverting back to faith, I would call Catholic radio.
Oh, you would? Did you ever make it on the air?
I did.
Whoa, cool.
Like twice.
Cool. What did you ask? Do you remember?
The first time I called Catholic Answers and I asked about confessing to a priest because that's, why do you confess to a priest?
Nah.
You don't need to confess your sins to a man. Blah, 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 blah. So, yes. Go with your sister.
Do you remember who was on back then?
It was Patrick Coffin and Jim Aiken. Yes. Jimmy Aiken.
Wow.
So
Jimmy Aiken has like lost a ton of weight.
I know. I saw that.
He's like lost more than half of himself.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's pretty inspirational.
It is. Yeah. So I called and I said, well, why do I? He said, what's your question? I said, well, I'm a first-time caller, and that's when Patrick Coffin used to do the trumpet sound when you're a first-time caller.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him, well, why do we confess our sins to a man, to a priest? And Jimmy Aiken's response was, well, would you rather confess your sins to a woman? And I just started cracking up. And
the laugh.
Yeah. And I said, okay, so what else can you give me? And, and then he says, well, you know, you have... His answer, from what I can remember, because this was about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, and he said, well, you have to think about, are you really contrite? Do you really have a sorrowful heart for what you did? And who are you accountable to? When people confess their sins to therapists, they confess them their thing, and they have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to a priest, it's free. And you're also given this supernatural grace to help you combat committing that sin again. And it gives you stress off your shoulders that you don't have when you're in a therapy room. And he reiterated that the priest is in persona Christi.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really the man that's giving you. It's not really the human part that's giving us to grace. It's Jesus present, since he's omnipresent.
Omnipresent.
He is acting through the priest. The priest is, I don't want to say like a puppet, but I guess that would be like the best way to say it, is that the priest is using his hands, but Jesus is giving him the power through those hands so that we have a physical aspect of touching and of speaking that we can hear, because we're very physical creatures, that we can hear and we can see that our sins are forgiven.
Right.
Right. So... that in itself, I mean, if you're talking and saying what's really on your mind, it was really bothering you, it was really stressing you out, and then to say, it's okay, here's your grace, then that's more powerful than going into your closet and confessing your and just saying, God, please forgive me. And then not everybody hears God.
Right.
Not everybody can hear him say, okay, you're forgiven. And then you're just sitting there waiting. Am I forgiven or am I not? ?
Mm-hmm.
So you're gonna walk out of your closet or walk out of your room and think, okay, how am I gonna have the strength to not commit that sin again or not get frustrated at my kids again or that?
Yep.
So for the confession, you have that physical interaction with another person who is Jesus present for us to see and hear and use all our five senses. To know that our sins are absolved. And you feel great afterwards. I don't know what the bad rap is about confession, but it really just irritates me.
I think honestly what it is it's a lot of things for everyone, right? But I think one of the big things for a lot of people is actually admitting. Mm-hmm. And it's pride. Pride gets in the way of a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned it before on the podcast, but for me, pride is what I feel should be a sin that is always a part of a confession. Because at the point of you committing a sin, you are saying, I'm going to do this my way.
Right.
I'm not going to do it your way.
Mm-hmm.
So my way is more, it's better when you do it this way.
Yeah.
So it's in a lot of ways, pride is kind of like one of the main driving factors behind sin overall, and the fear of admitting the pridefulness and saying that you succumb to it and expressing weakness.
Right.
And saying that I did this. That that fear is what drives people away. Whenever there's something that we're scared of, we avoid it.
Right.
It's just the human, it's something with us humans that we do that. And that's one of the main weapons that the evil one uses. He uses a lot of fear and a lot of doubt.
Right.
So he can multiply and amplify that, and it's up to us to look beyond that fear, rise above, and proceed and admit that we were prideful.
Yeah. Confession is a very humble act.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is.
And if you look at our our past generations, people used to go to confession all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that people used to live humble lives three generations ago compared to this generation.
Compared
now.
To now, right.
Yeah. And you look at people, the number of people who don't go to confession, and then the increase in the pridefulness, and I don't have to do anything that I don't want to do. Well, you see some correlation in there.
Yep.
Definitely.
Before we get in, and yeah, so Catholic Answers.
That's a great resource.
They're on Catholic Radio. They actually re-aired their broadcast as a podcast form. Mm-hmm. So even if you do not live in an area that does not have Catholic Radio, you can download the Catholic Answers podcast.
Right.
And you can hear the episodes. They're great.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Coffin is, I believe, not hosting anymore. He has his own podcast. So you should check that out because that's really, really good. I believe Jimmy Akin is still on there sometimes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Cy Kellett is the new host,
right. So it's still going and it's still great. Definitely recommend it. You can learn a lot from that, from that podcast and from that radio show there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Before we wrap up here, I do want you to touch base, if you will. You and my beautiful wife and a couple others took a trip not that far, but within the city limits of San Antonio, and you all went to a conference recently, right?
Yeah, we went to Catholic Women's Conference.
Indeed. Can you just talk to us a little bit about that and kind of the experiences, and for someone who's never been, kind of what happens and kind of...
Well, first of all, it's kind of cool to see that many women, Catholic women, in one place, because you're like, oh, we're not dying. You know, we're not. The Catholic Church is, you know, diminishing here in San Antonio. I mean, especially here in San Antonio, where there's just a strong Catholic presence.
Mm-hmm.
Because, hello, it's San Antonio. St. Anthony de Padua is our patron saint.
Indeed.
Which I didn't know up until like 10 years ago, because I'm not from San Antonio. I'm from Corpus Christi.
The Valley.
But
which is also, that's the body of Christ.
Body of Christ, yeah. I remember when growing up, they used to say, oh, this is the holiest city. And my mom was like, no, it's the holiest name of the city.
There's a difference.
It's a difference. Okay, Corpus Christi. And so, it's Catholic Women's Conference. So the Catholic Women's Conference this year was awesome because of the speakers that we had. So we had Father Donald Calloway, who is an awesome speaker.
Yep.
He is, I just re-listened to his conversion story. I looked it up on YouTube. And his, the priest order is Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception of something or other Mary. I mean, he said that the name Mary or is in that word, is in the order three times.
Whoa.
So the Marian something or other, the Immaculate Conception of something.
Mary.
So he spoke twice, and he has an awesome story as well. He was a drug user. He got kicked out of the country of Japan, and his parents had become Catholic by the great influence of these two Catholic Filipino women. He's like, you don't want to mess with two Filipino Catholic women. It's like messing with two Mexican Catholic women. You don't mess with them. They'll beat you with the rosary. Which my grandmother did fight Satanists. My grandmother is a very spiritual woman. And she would pray the rosary, and I think they even got into fights with the devil, and so the legend goes. But anyways, So he was speaking, and when I heard that he was speaking, I thought, oh, I really got to go. Because last year was Father Michael Gately, and I've heard of him.
Yeah.
And then this year also was two other speakers, but I was really drawn to Father Donald Calloway. Okay, he's very, very in love with Mary. And then the two other speakers was Colleen Mitchell, who I looked up her bookmark. She was on Bookmark. She wrote a book on When We Were Eve. So going back to the what our relationship is with God as women, and what our, I don't want to say what our role is, but how we are loved by God differently as women.
Compared to men. Got it.
And that's how we're going to fulfill our role in this world, is to realize our relationship with God and how we're loved by Him as His daughters, and then also how we're going to emit that love to the world.
Beautiful.
And then the other sister. He needs to go pee. So then the other, the Monjita, she was a nun. She was hilarious. She was a little short nun.
I heard about her.
Yeah, she was hilarious. If you have any issues and doubt of how you're going to parent your kids, you take her with you, and she'll set you straight. She's one of those little Monjitas that you don't mess with. Because, again, she'll probably beat you with the rosary. Sprinkle you with some holy water and go to Mass.
I'm done.
So, she was really funny. And again, the whole message of the conference with Mary and as being our mother, and how our relationship with God is going to then transfer our relationship to the world, so that we can change the society as true as our true womanhood. That's our power. So when we realize our true womanhood, and not what secularists are telling us is supposed to be women, then the world is going to change. So it's not that we have to be like men. That's not our prerogative. Women were told that we have to be like men in order to succeed in society, in the business world, and that's not the case. The case is that God gave us certain gifts that only we can emit. That's different. It's not, and we're not submissive. We're not subservient to the man, to male, but it's complement, and that we have that gift. Not that you don't have a gift, men, but you have a different gift.
A different gift.
Different gift. And so once we realize that gift, then we have to go through, change the role with that gift, and bring people back to Christ.
Wonderful. I know that my wife came back and she just had a great time. She talked to me about that nun too, and was telling me about her, and so I definitely heard about that. And
she's a great nun.
Indeed, Father Calloway is a great speaker, and he has a great message. I believe he does the 33 days to morning glory. If I'm not mistaken,
that's Father Michael Gately.
Oh, that's Father Michael Gately. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, get it straight, Jason.
There you go. You're calling me on my misinformation here on my podcast. I will put a link to not only Father Don Calloway, but also to the Catholic Women's Conference for anyone listening, if that's something you're into. It does happen annually. This year's in 2018 just occurred, so you got about a year to prepare, plan, and strategize, so that way you can attend next year's as well. So I'll definitely do that as well. Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break here. I have a quick question for you all. Do you want to support the podcast? Well, you can. You can help the John 330 podcast by working with our sponsor. When you need to buy or sell a house anywhere in the country, even in Canada, please give Rob DeMaio a call. You may remember Rob from episode number 27 when he appeared with his wife Camille. He's an experienced, award-winning realtor and can help you find an exceptional agent at no cost to you. Think of him as your real estate matchmaker. Just call him, tell him your needs, and he'll connect you with exactly the right agent in his extensive network. You can call or text Rob at 210-488-1144. Again, that's 210-488-1144. Tell them you heard it right here on the podcast. Now, back to the show. We're going to go and get to our parting questions now. That means we're almost done.
Did I get a parting gift?
That was provided in advance. So that was Whataburger. So here we go. And if you're wondering what that sound is, that means our washer is done. So yes, this is a podcast in a home for this episode. And that noise you just heard means our washer is done. So
yay.
There we go. Okay. So first parting question we have here is, Cecilia, if you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Make your kids go to sleep on contact.
Like on demand?
On demand.
Like whenever you want.
Go to sleep now. Boom. Done.
Done. Now, does this rule, would this superpower be exclusive to your children only or all children?
I would say to my husband, to the team.
Eric, I am going to get you a helmet. If you're hearing this and I hand you a helmet, you know why. Alrighty. That as a married mother of four who owns a business, I can understand why that would be your first thought for a superpower.
Right.
Because in turn, you could get some sleep.
Yeah, for sure.
Indeed.
Yeah, and I don't look all crazy the next day.
That's important. Got it. Good answer. That's okay. Never been said before.
Yeah.
So, very good. Very good.
Making history here.
Yeah. Who is your favorite saint?
Gosh, there's so many.
Yep.
Let's see. Can I do a saint, a favorite male and a favorite female
by
saint?
All means, okay. By all means.
I do like Saint. Is it Saint Martin de Porres?
Mm-hmm.
Down there in Peru, he was Peruvian.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah. And his friend was St. Rose of Lima. But I do like St. Martin de Porres because of having to evangelize down in South America is new. Every saint is always confronted with some kind of battle against the church that mm-hmm. they have to defend.
Yep.
Some kind of heresy or scandal or conflict in the church. People leave. That's not anything new.
No.
So anyway, that I do like St. Martin de Porres. Let's see. The women saints, I would say St. Monica, because she was the mother of St. Augustine of Hippo.
Right.
And she
like prayed him into being
saint.
Oh
my gosh. I mean, if she can pray her family, I mean, pagans, mm-hmm. give me a break. Mm-hmm. A pagan husband and a pagan son who just laugh at you for your Christianity, for what you believe, and then later your son becomes this great doctor of the church, right? He's a doctor of the church.
I believe you're correct.
So, and such so early in Christianity as well,
mm-hmm.
when everybody was being killed and fed to the
persecuted.
Lions and gone, you know, to Rome and to the Colosseum and fed to the animals. So St. Monica is definitely one of my heroes. So if she can have the patience of Job, of waiting and praying and just living her faith, living for Christ, and then that gives me some hope.
Indeed it does. So St. Martin de Porres and St. Monica, pray for us.
Pray for us.
If you could describe how you live your faith with a hashtag, what would it be?
Hashtag pray every day.
Hashtag pray every day. Love mm-hmm. it. And lastly, what message do you want to leave our listeners with?
I'd say to... If you're practicing Catholic, is to dive deeper into your faith, learn your faith. Don't be afraid of people asking you questions about your faith if you don't know the answer. Also, people get their feelings hurt by other people who are involved in the church, and they leave. The priest said something to me, or this person in ministry hurt my feelings, or weren't very Christ-like, or were rude, or something. And stay Catholic, because the church is full of sinners, and Jesus Christ is in the Eucharist. There's no reason for you to leave. Invite people to come into the Catholic Church. Don't be side-blinded by people who are not living as Christian a faith as you think they should live, because that we're sinners. So keep practicing your faith. Focus your eyes on Jesus Christ and surround yourself with people who are practicing Christians, practicing Catholics. And then if you come across somebody that's rude to you or is not as friendly to you as you'd like them to be, don't get your feelings hurt. Stay strong for God, because this is one true one Holy Catholic Apostolic Church. You're not going to find anything else like it in the world, and this church is always going to be here, because it has, like in today's reading, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So keep your eyes on Christ. You're in the right church. Just stick with it. If you need help, call us.
There you go. You can contact Cecilia. 210. Just kidding. And if you by chance manage to kind of pique anyone's interest in regards to Pilates in your intro there, where can they find your Pilates business? Social media, website, where can they do that?
It's PilatesAuthentica.com. So it's PilatesAuthentica.com. You'll find me there. If you want to talk Pilates, that's great. If you want to talk God, that's great too. You can find me there.
Sounds good. I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your day and sharing with us how you keep your fire burning for our Catholic faith. I want to give a special thanks to you as well, and to our executive producer, Dr. Javista. Thank you so much for your continued support of the podcast. It is greatly appreciated. Thank you to our sponsor, Robin Camille DeMaio. If you are interested in buying a home, contact Rob, as I mentioned earlier before in the episode. Once again, we are available not only on iTunes and on Spotify, but we're also available on Breadbox Media, and we just recently released a mobile app that you can download, and you can hear not only the John 330 podcast, but you can hear about 30 plus more podcasts that are all Catholic. They all cover a wide variety of different topics, so that's a good place to listen to other podcasts as well. The app right now is available for Android only. We will be on iTunes soon for Apple products. Thank you once again for everyone for listening. We're going to end this episode the way we do every time we attend Mass, and that's by praying the intercessory prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel. So here we go. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everyone, thank you for listening. Have a good rest of your day, and God bless you all.
Came down with the dove. This is my son, and I am pleased. He must increase, so I must decrease. And now my heart is open wide. I must decrease, so he can increase. He is the center of my life. increase. He must increase. He must increase.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.